Hello and welcome to the Eastman's Predator Pros podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Nimnick, and we're back. Another episode. Should be a good one. Got a couple buddies of mine, Hornady guys. They've been on the podcast before. We got Seth Swerzik, Joe Thielen. You know, I had them on a podcast a while back, maybe a year ago. We talked about the development of the 53 grain VMAX that I've shot out of the 223. Well, you know, in the last few months, there's been a lot of buzz about this new 22 arc and the 62 grain ELD VT bullet. After talking to a handful of guys, you know, I usually don't get caught up in a lot of this buzz. You know, I've been shooting a 223 for 20 years. So, you know, kind of one of those stick with what you know kind of deals. But for some reason, this cartridge, after talking to some guys that have used it and shot some coyotes with it that shoot a lot of coyotes, it caught my attention a little bit, and I thought, you know what, maybe there is a better way of doing what I'm doing. So I figured, well, I'm going to get all the information I want. So I figured might as well get them on a podcast, and then I can share all this information with you guys at the same time, because maybe you're in the same boat. Maybe you've heard about it. Maybe you're interested in potentially looking in, you know, to moving over to a 22 arc and shooting the 62 grain ELD VT bullet. So yeah, should be great. These guys are always super knowledgeable on the R&D behind it. And I'm kind of, you know, naive a little bit to some of this bullet talk. So, bear with me when they start saying things, I might not know exactly what it is, but I'll get them to hash it out for us for sure. But before jumping to this podcast, I want to thank you guys for continuing to listen, continue to make this number one predator hunting podcast out there. If you're looking to find information about myself, easiest way to do that is jump over to my website, which is coyotecraze.com. Maybe you're looking at upcoming coyote hunting schools this upcoming fall and winter. You want some more information on those. Maybe you want to links over to our Last Stand videos. We just got done with season 6. You know, season 7 will be launching coming up here in October. You know, I got links on there to articles I've written in the past and things like that. So you can, and that'll give you links to all my social media accounts too. Well, I say all. Instagram is essentially all I do. So, but don't plan on too much content on my Instagram page. Over the next 6 months, I'll make a few baseball posts, but nobody really follows me for the baseball stuff. So, I kind of check out a little bit now. And as you're listening to this, you know, I recorded these podcasts, you know, quite a bit in advance, so I can just kind of release them here over the fall or the spring and summer months. So you guys can continue to have content. But like I've said before, I kind of check out a little bit, you know, re-energize, regroup, refocus, get ready for next season. So, but before we jump into the podcast, I need to thank the sponsors of this episode, which are Silencer Central and Cryptek. Now, if you listen to a couple podcasts before, I had Brandon Maddox, the CEO of Silencer Central, on super informative podcast, talking about, you know, the process they use, how he got his start with his company, just suppressors in general. You know, they make the process so easy. You know, and as I've heard lately, the wait times are dropping. You know, I heard this through the grapevine, a guy waited 3 weeks to get it back. I heard this. I don't know if that's true or not. That seems crazy short, but that's awesome. If some of these are coming back, you know, this 8-9 month wait time is kind of ridiculous. So, yeah, you know, I started shooting that Banish Gold, actually put it on my thermal gun. I didn't get the suppressor till late in the season, so I didn't want to swap it over my day gun and have to resight anything. So I actually put it on my thermal gun, started shooting it. Hey, I tell you, you know, it's great. It's great. You know, I haven't taken it apart yet. I was going to probably, you know, maybe run 300 or 400 rounds through it. I didn't quite shoot that many through it yet. And then I was going to take it apart. I've always been interested to see what it looks like when you take a suppressor apart, because every suppressor I own up to this point, other than the Spanish Gold, was a sealed suppressor. So I wasn't able to take it apart. So curious to see how much buildup, you know, is really in those and how that works. So I'll keep you guys filled in down the road when I do that. But, you know, now's the time to jump on. If you're sitting on the fence, you know, thinking that, yeah, I'd really like to jump on and get a suppressor, now's the time to do it. Because, you know, if you do it now, if you go through Silencer Central, super easy process, you know, there's a chance you might have your suppressor, your stamp back, and have your suppressor, you know, ready to use for, you know, coyote season next fall. So don't delay. The more you delay right now, it's just going to be the more delay you have next season of getting it. So you can head over to their website, which is silencercentral.com, and see, you know, just how easy that process is to grab yourself a suppressor. Now with Cryptek, you know, I run that puffy jacket. I'm trying to remember the exact name of it. I just call it a puffy jacket. I wear it a lot. I wore it out this season, you know, between the barbed wire fences and the mesquite down in Arizona. I had to put a little tape on it towards the end of the season. You know, unfortunately, you know, those puffy jackets don't hold up. But, man, it's probably one of my favorite pieces of clothing. I don't know. People make fun of me for wearing a puffy jacket, but I love it. You know, so something you might check out. You know, the patterns itself, you know, my puffy jacket's in Highlander. But, you know, they do make it in that their new waterfowl pattern. I think called Flyaway, I believe it's called. But that seems to be pretty legit pattern when it comes to this, I would say, Midwest, West, you know, landscape where you have lots of yellow grass and lighter colors. Both patterns are pretty dang good. But no, I'm sure Kryptek, just like any of these outdoor companies, will be running some sales here throughout the spring and summer, trying to, you know, maybe thin down some of their inventory from 2023-24 season, you know, to make room for their new stuff coming in. So, you know, be on the lookout, you know, whether it's going over to their webpage, which is kryptek.com, you know, follow them on Instagram, be looking up, because I'm sure they're going to have some sales. You know, you might be able to get some clothing at a discounted cost, you know, stocking up for next season. So go check them out over at kryptek.com. Well, Joe and Seth, welcome back to the podcast, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us back on, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Yep, thank you. Good to be here.
I'm sure you didn't have a whole lot to do on a Monday afternoon, so glad you guys were able to take the time.
Yeah, much rather be doing this than the alternative, you know, hammering out emails that are already a month old.
Well, this is going to be a fun podcast. You know, as we visited a little bit before we jumped on here and started recording, you know, you mentioned that, yeah, I'm a big 223 guy, you know, two decades worth of 223 stuff. And this new 22 arc has been something that's been on my radar for the last couple months, ever since you guys launched it. So this podcast is probably more so for me, for my information, just to see if this is something I want to kind of make the switch to. And hopefully then everybody else listening to it too can kind of start looking at, you know, all the differences, you know, when we start comparing this to other calibers and things like that. So should be a good one.
Yeah, we're excited about it. It's been a fun cartridge to play with, to shoot, to hunt with. There's going to be people competing with it. It was one of those cartridges when, you know, as far as the design goes, everything was just easy. It just fell into place.
And we call it one of those eloquent designs of just something that works better than what you have. So yeah, it was fun.
So as we talked a little bit about before as well, you had to obviously test this out. So you guys have been shooting a few coyotes with it this winter.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Been shooting a few for a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. So Joe, for a while. Yeah. Joe said, yeah, he's been testing it for a while.
Gun. Yeah. I built one almost 2 years ago now to start shooting prototypes and stuff. And just to make sure what we were working on was delivering the goods in the field. You know, that's one thing that's unique about Hornady. I mean, Seth can back me up. We got a bunch of guys here that are pretty hardcore users of a lot of products. And if we're going to put our stamp on something like, hey, this is what this product does, I don't just want to tell you that from a testing standpoint in the lab. I want to go out in the field and make sure that it does deliver what we say it delivers out in the real world. I think that's very important.
Oh, 100%. So Joe, to back this up a little bit, you know, you said you've been using this now for a year plus. What was it? Talk to me about your first coyote, or maybe one of the first few coyotes you shot with this round, and you thought, wow, this is something a little, maybe a little different, or what I was used to shooting, whether it was your 22-250 or whatever you're using before.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I grew up out in Wyoming, and I cut my teeth shooting coyotes with a 22-250 bolt gun with 55. Same thing that 90% of your coyote hunters have, the measuring stick, so to speak.
Yep.
And that thing worked great, man. You can kill a coyote at 400 yards, and you could anchor him out there too. Even in the wind, you know, it was good. So I was like, okay, as I got older, and then we started working on the arc family. So the six arc was first, right? So that's the platform. I'm like, okay, if you have this platform runs in an AR, this thing's inherently accurate, works good. What happens in a 22? Can we develop a new bullet? So the bullets are what make this cartridge, as far from a coyote hunting standpoint. That's what makes it go. The LDVTs are just so much different than everything out there. But to answer your question of what the first coyote that I shot with the cartridge, we didn't have the ELDVTs yet. A couple of years ago, I shoot 75 ELDMs at like $3,000 out of my AR. So it was a wicked round. And I remember killing them And then especially like running dogs and like killing them at 400 yards on the run, it came easier. It came like the old 22-250, you know, you just get out in front of them, squeeze the trigger, and they'd fold up, you know, and then they'd be dead when you got there. So that was the first coyote that I ever shot. Well, a few of the first coyotes was some long range coyotes running with that cartridge. And I was like that, okay, this works really well. And then fast forward, shot them with the ELD VTs at night and during the day. And the amount of coyotes that I lost at night, you know, just hobble off, didn't hit them right, whatever, you know, went way down to like hardly anything. And that's like, this normally doesn't happen. You know, 223, you lose a few here and there, especially those big Sandhills dogs.
Yeah.
So that's how I knew that in a nutshell. That's how I knew it. I knew it worked. I can still remember the first one I shot at, like with an ELVT 22 arc, was at night at about 300 yards, and he was out playing around. And I was like, man, that's a long shot, but we'll test it. So I literally just shot him, and he spun around a little bit and died right there. So I knew right then, I was like, man, we're this pretty good cartridge.
Well, yeah, we'll get into a little bit more of that. Like we're talking about terminal ballistics, sure. Right? When the bullet hits the coyote, what's it doing to him? But, you know, because that's one of the things that always has impressed me with the 53s is compared to, you know, out of the 223, is that terminal ballistic. So that's something that has always sold me on the 53. So that's the point that I'm wanting to really dive into, to say, okay, how does that compare to the 62, and then add the other stuff on top of it that we're going to talk to. So
absolutely.
Seth, you shot a few this winter with it too.
Yeah. Shot a few this winter and hosted a media event in Wyoming. And obviously there's plenty of coyotes in Wyoming, and we timed it up mid February. There wasn't a single, there was one stand where we didn't get a single dog coming in, not nothing. But then every other stand produced multiple dogs. There was only one or two where we only got a single. So there was plenty of opportunity out there. And it was, you know, we had some media folks out there, outdoor riders, and very target rich environment, hunting at night, hunting during the day. We had gas guns, bolt guns, everything suppressed. And at night, this was one of my favorite quotes, one of the outdoor riders, you know, range estimation could be a little difficult. So we get back from a night of hunting, we get back to the hotel, all the guns are put up. Well, before you go to bed, you better have a nightcap. So we're in the hotel lobby, sipping on some fine bourbon after a night of hunting, and we're all swapping stories. And the quote that struck me was, it's flatter than you think it is, because he'd missed one over the top. You know, it was 250, 275 yards, and
yeah.
And he missed it just right over the top of it. And it's flatter than you think it is. And that stood out for me, because it really is. This thing is, you know, when you're used to shooting 223s and 22-250s, you expect that flat trajectory. And this delivers that flat trajectory. And then what really separates it from those other cartridges is when you get the shots that are past that 250, past 350, you know, you start flirting with a quarter of a mile or 500 or 600 yards, where you have that lone dog that sits down and he's not coming any further. These, with like Joe mentioned, the bullets is what make this cartridge the go-to coyote rig for us. And yeah, you get that shot at, you know, 475 yards, and when it gets there, it arrives with authority. It's a very audible arrival, and it anchors the dogs. And so for me, you get the traditional level of performance that you want at the traditional ranges. You get what you expect out of a 22-250 or a 223, but you're in an 18-inch gas gun with a suppressor. And then when you have to airmail one, you can airmail one, and the efficiency of the bullets, they just work.
Yeah, that's impressive to me, because you said the 100 to, you know, 250 yard shots, like you said, you hit them right with anything, you're going to be pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be the Achilles heel of the 223. It seems like when I talk to guys that aren't big fans of the 223, they're like, yeah, I mean, you know, the wind drift, once you get out past there, is crazy, especially in the country we hunt, right? Like, it's never not windy. You know, I tell people all the time, like, my, you know, can kill, you know, 100% of stuff under 200 yards. Once I get out past 300 yards, it's like 50-50 for me. And it's all because of the wind, right? It's like, is it a 12-inch drift or a 30-inch drift? I don't know. I don't have that time to judge that. So when we start getting into this and how this, that 62 ELD VT cuts that wind drift, I think almost in half, I think. That's going to be what's impressive. And downrange too, you know, I've always found with those 53s, and you guys can probably explain this better than I can, as it loses velocity, the bullet just doesn't do what it supposed to do, right? When it gets out there at 400 or 500 yards, it almost turns into like a Full Metal Jacket to a certain extent, where you have to hit those coyotes just perfect, even at those ranges, to kill it. And I think, like you said, you know, this new ELDVT bullet gives you a little more room for error when you do hit them out at those farther ranges.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, do you remember? So when I was a kid, VMAXs weren't, tipped bullets weren't around. They weren't a thing yet. Hornady came out with those in the 90s, right?
96.
So we shot coyotes with SPSXs or 55 spire point, you know, an expanding bullet. And man, you got a coyote at 400 yards, you better hit him perfect, or you might knock him down and be able to go get him or whatever, but he ain't going to be dead. Then you got tipped bullets that came around that transferred energy faster. You know, they rapidly expanded. Then you could kill a coyote at 300-400 yards pretty routinely. Well, now, so you take a step there, and now you, with the new 62 ELDVT style bullets, those just take another, but I'm going to tell you, two or three steps as far as energy on target, reduced wind drift, all of those things, you know, lethality, if you will. Yeah. So that's the biggest thing that jumped out to me from having been done this for years and years and years. It was evidently clear, like, you have a better method to get a coyote, to extract a coyote, you know.
So before we dive into some of these specifics, walk me through a little bit of the R&D kind of over the last, you know, however long, 12, 18 months, whatever you guys have been working on this, kind of how that played out, how did we get to where we are right now?
So the cartridge, the platform, you know, 226D magazine, AR, all of them, was spawned with the 6-arc. So once we had that platform defined, we knew we wanted to use that envelope and case and all that kind of stuff. Now, we did for the 22, we wanted to run it a little bit faster. So we made the case a little bit longer because we don't need all of the head height or the ogive length of the bullets, because it wasn't a 6 mil, right? It's a 22. So the diameter's smaller. So when it ratioed out, you know, bullet diameter and length and ogive length and calibers, we didn't need quite the length. So we add a little length to the case, and then it gives us some other benefits. It will not chamber in a 6-arc gun, won't chamber. And then a 6-arc won't chamber in a 22. So you make them so they won't interchange, which is good. It gives us the capacity that we need to run the heavy 22 bullets with a little bit slower powder, because anytime you reduce the bore diameter on the same parent case, if you will, you got to slow the powders down a little bit. So this gave Jaden and the ballistics guys a little bit more boiler room, if you will, to run the right powders at the right pressures to get the speeds we wanted. So from a cartridge standpoint, that was easy. The bullet part was far more involved on the ELDVTs, because it took a lot of, you know, math and science and modeling and shooting to get the lengths right, the lead height right, the accuracy, the tooling and everything to build those. So I know it's kind of a two-part answer, but that's kind of marrying up the two.
So yeah. To back up, I guess I'm around all these cartridges all the time when I'm taking guys hunting and stuff like that. So that 6-arc, it is off an AR-15 platform?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. So
it's like a Grendel, you know, a 6 mil shortened Grendel, you know, cartridge, Grendel bolt face, Grendel mags.
Gotcha. So let's dive into this bullet, because, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, go to Hornady's website, you can see a picture of this bullet. And that, when I saw a picture, like the bullet cut in half, you know, I was like, wow, that thing, that's impressive. Like, so walk me through the design of that, because it seemed way different. Like if you show the cross section of a 53 grain VMAX versus some other, it looks completely different than a lot of these.
Yeah, 100%. So the bullets we've had this concept. Jaden is actually the one that, you know, kind of had the concept 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Of we want to build on this idea of a long, sleek match bullet, but it needs to be a lighter weight one when we get the speeds up. And we were thinking of varmint hunting. So in other words, reduce the drag, raise the BC, and yet have a bullet that you can push pretty fast is essentially, in a nutshell, of what it is. Well, after that, it was, okay, how long are they? How much do they weigh? Where is the lead height? Where's the center of gravity compared to the center of pressure? How do they fly? What twist rate do we need? All of those things started once we had the envelope kind of laid out. You got to dial in on all the numbers, or the devil's in the details, as they say, and flesh out all of those things to develop the right bullet. That's the right length, the right weight, and have all those physical characteristics that makes it aerodynamically a very efficient projectile.
So to I'm kind of remembering what the picture looked in my head. If I'm trying to describe this, this would be your typical, you know, ballistic tip style bullet, the jacket, but it seemed like it's end loaded with the lead core, right? Like, yep. And then there's this massive hollow cavity behind the tip, like way more than, like, if you looked at a 53 grain, it's just pretty minute, very small.
Yeah.
This thing is like what, almost like, I don't know, a third
of the bullet.
Of the bullet is this hollow cavity behind the tip, pretty close. I mean, it's,
oh yeah, it's half the ogive profile is hollow. So normally on a conventional VMAX bullet, the lead comes right up close to the base of the tip, right?
Yep.
And that's to get your weight, keep the bullet short, so it'll stabilize in a 12 twist or a 14 in a 22 250 or whatever it is. Well, with this one, where we knew we were going to shoot it out of a fast twist 22 arc, we can make the bullet nice and long like a match bullet and just take all that lead out. So it's like it's truly the 62 grain ELD VT for the 22 arc is truly a 75 grain ELD match profile looking bullet that weighs 62 grains.
Yeah. The weight is lack of the
lead core.
Yeah. It's very deceiving, because most of your listeners and viewers will probably say, oh, I've seen a 62 grain 22 cal bullet. It is not the same bullet. This thing looks like a 75 match. It's got this huge long ogive profile and a super long boat tail to pick up the drag characteristics that we want. And then you manipulate the weight by moving that lead core rearward, which has some other implications for us in regard to ballistics and stability. But it makes that bullet absolutely come apart like a hand grenade. And you pick up the added velocity because it's lighter in weight for length.
So walk me through the expansion of a bullet. Like, when we start talking about the design, does that plastic tip, when it gets knocked back, when it impacts its target, is that designed to kind of, you know, mash back into the lead to cause it to fragment? Is that the overall design or similar? Walk me through that.
Generally speaking, so we'll just pick on the VMAXs or the ELD VTs.
Yeah.
So yes, when they're, so in other words, they're shot out of there really fast. So as they're going out there to impact their target, they're getting warm, right? So yep. that tip is getting hot. And as soon as it hits the target, it does one of two things. Either the tip usually pops back through the jacket, so it just shears off the little plastic where the copper is, pops it back into the jacket and makes it basically like a wedge. And it just initiates violent expansion. That's why tipped bullets expand so much more robust or reliable and violently than a hollow point, because that tip initiates that expansion right now. Or if it hits it and breaks the tip off sideways, then it just snaps the head off and drives the shank back in there, and you have the same thing. The stem of the tip pops everything open and starts expansion right away.
Now, with that lead being in the back half of that bullet, I was trying to think, when we start talking about added energy, right? Does that do something? It's almost like you think of some other things in this world that are kind of end loaded, I guess, you know, to say, I mean, it would that be a comparison? I'm not talking about maybe like some like baseball bats are end loaded, you know, to where that weight's just coming from you know what I'm saying? Did you guys find any difference in there by having that, or, you know, by majority of the weight being in the back half of the bullet as opposed to evened out, you know, across you know,
what we have found, I mean, I can't say that it's all, you know, that all that mass in one end does something crazy, but what we have found is they fly very, very true. So in other words, they don't have much pitch and yaw or oscillation when they fly. So they impact point on perfectly.
Yeah, yeah.
And that helps that tip drive straight back in there very quickly. Well, once that happens and that tip goes in that giant air cavity, now if you can imagine basically pressurizing a vessel. So, and as soon as you've got that cavity full of, whether it's tissue, fur, flesh, tip material, you know, liquid, essentially, you know, hydrostatic stuff, and it pops open, you can imagine what happens to the rest of the bullet after that. I mean, it is literally like it poof and pops and the coyotes go down right now.
Yeah. And the tip gets a little bit of a run at the lead core. Which
And slams into there. Yeah.
So I watched the videos of shooting ballistic gel with this. What are the dimensions on that? And I think we're going to try to, maybe if you're watching this this podcast on YouTube, I'll try to maybe edit in the video clip of this if we can. But, you know, what'd you find when you were shooting that gel? Like, what were we getting out of, like, maximum penetration of that big wound channel, wound cavity on these 62s?
Not much.
Was it like expending after 10, 12 inches? Gone? It was done? Even less than that, probably?
Yeah, less than that. So the goal, the true goal, Jeff, to be honest with you, was a big coyote is what? 8 inches? I mean,
maybe, yeah, thick, happy, yeah.
Maybe yep. 8, 9, 7 inches, somewhere in there.
Yep.
So our goal, the goal of those bullets was to expend as much energy possible in that amount of volume. So in other words, these bullets open in the first
half inch
of perfect. Penetration, yeah. And they are done. Like, I mean, spent by 8, 9, 10 inches. They're done. So the giant, I don't know, volleyball cavity that they make in there is literally yeah. from about 3/4 inch to 6 inches. And that's you're basically stuffing a volleyball inside of a coyote. It is violent, like really violent.
If you put the ballistic gel from a 62 EL DVT and 53 grain VMAX out of a 223, I'm guessing expansion distance is going to be fairly similar as far as the depth. Yep. Probably similar.
Yep.
But the volume of that cavity, now we're talking significant increase in the volume or.
So think of a 53 grain VMAX out of a 223. Think of a what, Seth? Softball grapefruit elongated a little bit.
Yep.
ELDVT, think of a volleyball elongated. Because it's all got to do with energy, right? You know, VT's carrying way more energy. The energy's got to go somewhere because the bullet didn't come out the other end. So guess what it does? The volume of destruction just gets bigger. So yeah,
and that's super important. Awesome. You know, I talk to guys a lot about that when we're talking about shooting coyotes. You know, a lot of these guys are set on shooting bigger guns, right? Like, we don't want the coyotes running off, so let's take out the biggest gun possible. And I'm like, guys, it's not so much about that. I'm like, if your bullet's X-ing out that coyote, that's just lost energy, right? So, you know, but then the other guys are like, well, the last time I shot one of these flat shooting rifles, it blew up on the shoulder, you know? And I'm like, well, but that's why I've always said, you know, that sweet spot seems to be the lower 3,000 feet per second guns shooting these type of bullets where you get, like you said, it's penetrating that 3/4 inch, you know, whatever. And then it's creating mass chaos inside the coyote. I don't know. It's fascinating. My mind's spinning now. You guys got me thinking about all kinds of things about this now.
Well, that's good because that's where we were a few years ago. And we're like, all right, this is awesome. It's working. It's great. Yeah. So,
well, and during the development, the cartridge was easy. And Wildcats, similar to this, had been around for years and years and years. So during the initial development, which was within my last few months working in ballistics, started doing pressure and velocity work. We had traditional bullets. You know, our 75 ELD match was really good, the 80 grain bullet. But we didn't have a dedicated varmint offering that really make this thing stand out. So that took a couple of years to catch up. And once the VT technology and we got these 22 caliber bullets made, that's when for me, the 22 arc went from like, okay, yeah, that's something we'll do. And it's fine to this is the real deal. Point. And this is going to get people to switch. This is going to be, you know, if you've been shooting a 22, 250 or 223 or, you know, any of these other cool cartridges, this bullet technology with this cartridge could get people to switch from their old standby because there is notable benefits.
Is anybody loading this bullet in a 22-250?
There's custom guy with fast twist. They put fast twists on them. So I got buddies that are shooting both the 22s and the 6mm 80s out of Wildcats at high speeds. And it's real effective. It's incredible. Like a 62 out of a 22 Creed at like 3,700, 3,800 is, you literally can shoot at a coyote about 400 yards and shoot and aim at him, which is just incredible.
Yeah.
So
wow.
Yeah, this one's been fun. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
If you can't tell, we get pretty excited about this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, heck yeah.
You do
bullet nerds. Somebody's probably saying that right now. A bunch of bullet nerds.
Yeah, which is true.
Hey, we use them though. We don't just sit there and just
nerd. That's true. That's true.
Man. We go out and shoot them too.
Yes, we do.
So technical specs of this, let's just compare it to some cartridges, right? So I've been talking about the 53 grain. So let's look at ballistic coefficient, right? Super important, something we're considering when, you know, especially longer shots down range. I mean, what are we looking at ballistic coefficients compared, like a 53 compared to the 62 ELD?
So the 53 has a G1 of 0.290, which, you know, going back to the podcast that we were on previous to this, you know, months and months ago, that's a hellacious BC for a 53 grain bullet.
Yeah. 55 VMAX, yeah. What, 250?
Yeah. So it's
huge.
290 yeah. is the G1. Well, when you go to this, you pick up 9 grains of weight, but you pick up over 100 G1 points. The G1 BC is a 395. It's got a G7 of 199. So this is substantially better than anything in its bubble, right? You don't get those type of BC numbers until you get into 75 grain, 80 grain ELD match bullets.
Yeah. What's the difference between, I've never understood this, a G1 profile and, like, I think I saw a G7 profile. Would that,
yep.
What, yeah. What's the difference between those two if you're looking at those?
So that a G1 standard or that profile is, think of a conventional flat base bullet. So think of 150 grain spire point in 30 cal. Flat base, ogive, you know, that's it. Okay. The G7 projectile is, think of a modern boat tail match bullet. So just a boat tail hollow point, if you will. Think of that shape of a bullet as a standard. That's the G7 standard. So you can, when you're comparing the B, because the BC is just a comparison of your bullet to the standard, mm-hmm. is what that number essentially is in layman's terms. So it's just a more accurate number. So if you got a boat tailed bullet and you give it a G7 BC, it's a more accurate BC than comparing a boat tail bullet to a flat base bullet, if that makes sense, or vice versa. So if you're,
so these are all, these are all considered G1 bullets then, what we're talking about here, the 62 ELDs,
G7,
G7s. Okay. All right. Yep.
All right. Is a better comparison to that standard. Exactly. Cause the bullet is more similarly shaped to that standard. It's a boat tail bullet.
Makes sense. I've read that multiple times, but had no clue what the difference was. So it's good to know. So now if we take this one step further and start comparing it to other calibers out there, stuff that's been on the market for the last handful of years, you know, let's take like a 22 Nosler or a 224 Valkyrie, some of these other, you know, Wildcat calibers, I guess if you want to call them that, whatever they really are, you know, how does the 22 ARC stack up to some of these? 22 Creed, even one of the, you know.
Yeah. Well, sure. it's hanging with some of the bigger stuff. Compared to a 223, like your favorite 53 grain load, yeah. The 53 grain load is doing at a 24 inch barrel, factory spec muzzle velocity is 3465. Okay. So the 22 ARC with the VT is doing 3300. So it's 165 foot per second slower than that 223 Super Performance, but you pick up almost double the BC, you know, 100 G1 points. So although it starts out of the gate a little bit slower, the bullet is so efficient, you have less drop at those extended ranges and significantly less wind drift. When you compare it to the 22 Nosler, that's a 55 grain bullet doing 3,500. But again, the BC is around 250. So you're going to double the BC or get close to 100 plus G1 points. And it's going to outrun it within a couple, 200-300 yards. Really the best direct comparison to the 22 ARC is the 22-250. So if you look at the 55 grain bullet in a 22-250, that's the standard, right? That everybody, yep. you know, grew up with. Factory ammo is doing 3680 at the muzzle. That's fast. 3680. Yeah, yeah. So 22 ARC doing substantially slower, right? Like quite a bit slower. But again, the drag of the bullet. So if you run the numbers out between a 22-250 doing 3680, and our VT load in the 22 ARC doing 3,300, by 350 yards or so, the ARC is flatter shooting. Instantly out of the muzzle, the ARC has significantly less wind drift. And by 500 yards, it's the same trajectory. It's half the wind drift or 30-some percent less wind drift than a 22-250. At any distance past 500 yards, the differences just keep getting bigger. So realistically, the 22-250 with the 55 grain bullet is the most direct comparison to the 22 ARC. Although you're starting out of the gate substantially faster, the bullets are just inefficient. So you lose velocity quicker and you have more wind drift.
Yeah. So all the people out there, basically bang, guns go off at the same time, 300 yards downrange, the ARC is past it. I mean, any, you can pick any one of these, doesn't matter. The ARC with a 62 has passed it and nothing will ever catch it, essentially what it comes down to.
This is all about that bullet design, right? I mean, you're picking 75 grain frame, which is giving you that extra BC essentially, right? Because it is built on that bigger frame, but we're able to knock the weight down to 62, which gives us the speed that.
You nailed it right there. That's exactly what it is.
Hornady is a bullet company. That's Jason says that all the time. We make bullets, and we make other stuff too, but bullets is our pride and joy. So velocity is what makes bullets work. When it arrives on your target, if you want the bullet to work, it's got to have enough velocity. So these bullets simply impact with more velocity at every yard line downrange because they hold on to more velocity than those older, more inefficient designs. So that efficient design on that 75 grain frame, like you mentioned, Jeff, you hold on to velocity, you retain it. So at every range, downrange, you impact with higher velocity than a comparable bullet of the same weight that has less shape to it. You know, that's stumpy OG or flat base.
So let's just pick up, I'm a big 18 inch barrel guy out of my ARs. So just doing the math, I mean, this gun should be somewhere around right about 3,000 then out of an 18 inch.
I think I'm doing like 3,150.
I was gonna say, I shoot I have a 20 inch barrel on mine right now, and I'm 3,200, 3,190.
Yeah, I think my 18 inch proof, I just built it, shot it here not that long ago on a gas gun.
About what, 31?
No, it's 3,153.
I was gonna say, just below mine. Yeah, 3,150.
So I think I chronoed those 53s out of my, and they were about 3,050. You know, somewhere right there. At least that's what I had my dial made to, somewhere right in there. So that's me in my mind. I'm like, okay, I've shot this gun for so long. Like, as you guys, especially you, Joe, know, running coyotes is all about, it's not about,
it becomes muscle memory at
muscle memory, right? So I tell people all the time, like, if you want to get good at shooting running coyotes, you got to pick the same caliber and shoot it all the time, because it's really that muzzle velocity is what's ingrained in your brain with your sight picture, right? So if you're jumping from a 3,000 foot per second gun to a 3,800 and all over the place, like, your running leads will never get good, right? So that's probably my biggest hesitation on me switching from a 223 is like,
I'm in front of him.
Yeah, I'm like, damn, I keep shooting in front of him, right? But that's what intrigues me about this, because I think, you know, if I go to a 22 arc and an 18 inch, I'm like super close, like within 50, 7,500 feet per second. Yeah. So I'm like, I feel like that's not enough to mess up everything that's ingrained in my brain.
Close range, you'll be just fine, right? But I think, to your point, that's what helped me a lot, because I had shot so many with a 22 250 that it's like, okay, find his chin, come out in front of his snout, and let her rip, you know? And that's what I can do with the arc now. Instead of 223, you're like, shoot, man, I'm a dog in front of him. I'm a dog and a half, you know?
Yeah.
If he's very far away. So you'll be good. Like, you won't notice the difference, you know, up close, but you will notice the difference at 300-400 yards. I assure you, you'll be like, man, I'm a little bit in front. Or you'll just hit him more up front. You know, you'll take his front legs out.
Yeah. Yeah. What's out there right now, as far as, you know, I know this is pretty new. It seems like I did a quick little Google search just to kind of see, you know, guys that are maybe wanting to dive into this, whether it's just getting rebarreling their rifle, grabbing an upper. Is this something that's still pretty new out on the market, you know, when it comes to finding, you know, uppers and barrels and things like that for the 22 arc?
Man, it's super easy now.
There's been some bigger companies that jumped on board. And when we were doing the development before the launch, I had, you know, almost four dozen companies interested in building 22 arc at some degree, and between bolt gun and gas gun. And Proof Research, they were pretty instrumental in our overall development of the cartridge. So they've got bolt guns and gas gun barrels today. You can buy them right now. I know they've been shipping barrels. So that was an easy one. Odin Works was another big one. They were on board with us in the 6mm arc, and you can buy complete guns, complete uppers, barrels. And they were pretty instrumental there too. Faxon, in the gas gun world, they came on pretty strong. And then there's, I mean, a host of others that all over the different price categories. So if you're just looking for a barrel, KAK, carbon six preferred barrels,
there's plenty of rise armament.
Yeah. And that's just on the gas gun side. There are, you know, some bolt gun stuff in the works as well. So it has been, you know, it's a new cartridge. Yes. And it's only been technically public for a couple of months, but the industry and all of our industry partners did a really good job of getting this stuff out there early on.
And if you have a, let's just say like you have a 223, you can literally get an upper. So for you, it'd be mags, your bolt carrier, upper barrel chamber, and you're done. You can put it right on your lower.
Nice. What mags are these running?
So we run the,
there's 6.5 Grendel mags.
They're Grendel mags. I'm trying to think of the brand name that we run.
Elanders.
Those are the good ones.
Elanders, okay. Dura mags.
They're like 20 round. Mine are like 15, 20 round mags.
Yeah. That's Geisley. All I run anyway.
Yeah. Geisley makes a good magazine.
30 round gets hung up on the door too often when you're trying to get off the mirror.
Well, they do. They get awkward. And that, I love the, so the Grendel, these mags are perfect. 15, 20 rounds. They're nice and tight up in there because they double a little bit. So yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Heck yeah. What up? One thing that we didn't quite we touched a little bit on, wind drift. All right. So obviously the big thing, you know, with this, what are we thinking? Like, let's just take a 400 yard. I don't know if you guys get the numbers off the top of your head, but you know, wind drift on like, yeah, there you go. I see you pulling out the ballistic calculator.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell you this. Yeah. I've had this memorized for a long time. Like with my 223, if I have a 20 mile an hour crosswind at 200 yards, it's like a 10 inch. It's 10 inch drift. With 223. So
this would be with
arc is like, are we looking 60%. Like half probably?
Pretty close. It's like 60, just over half, like 60%. I'll get my file. I have a file built in Fortoff, so I can tell you exactly what it is.
So my personal gun here at 500 yards with a full value 10 mile an hour wind is 16 inches. You bump that up to 20, it would then be 33.
What did you say, Jeff, at 400 you do? You run four. Did you say, tell me 400?
Well, I just told you, I just had 200 always in my mind memorized. It's a 10 inch drift at 200 yards with 20 mile an hour wind. That's with the 223. I was just wondering what that was.
4.7 inches.
I just had them.
4.7, right? So half for sure.
Exactly. So you said it's 5 inches out of my gun with my 18.
Yeah, so half.
It's 5 inches.
That's huge. That's huge, right? That alone right there. You know, like I said, if you're calling coyotes, majority of your coyotes are shooting are under 200 yards, but there are all those ones that make the difference sometimes. Like if you're a contest hunter or you're just trying to make the biggest pile of coyotes you possibly can in the back of your truck, man. I mean, it's part of coyote calling that the coyotes do check up. You know, that's just what some do, you know.
Well, and what I like is, do you remember the old adage, 22-255 is 400 yards? It was 12 to 14 inches of drop, right? That's just, it was a staple. Just put it up between his ears, put a head height above him, and you'll center punch him. Guess what it is with the 22 arc? 14 inches. So it's the same thing. So yeah.
It definitely hits above its weight class when you look at, you know, we talked about 223, the 22 Nosler, 224 Valkyrie. It's not even in that same category. It although it has the same overall length, it's in the category with the 220 Swift, the 22-250, you know, 22 Creedmoor. It's definitely a neat cartridge in that way, in that it is small, but it definitely hits above its weight class.
Yeah, yeah. And we've kind of touched on this a little bit, but obviously there's always naysayers out there, right? Like, oh, this is just another cartridge. It's coming out. Blah. I mean, we've touched on a lot of it, but what's the main message to those guys that are like, this is just another BS deal, trying to make money, trying to sell more guns and blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, I know we've just listened to this. It's more than that, but what's the message usually to those type of guys when that conversation comes about?
I mean, I just tell them, look, you go shoot what works for you. I get it. But I'm just telling you, if you just have an open mind and try it, just give it a shake. I've shot it. I've been out. I've used it a lot, like a bunch of us here have. And I'm not just trying to sell you another gimmicky thing. I'm telling you, this is a better mousetrap or a better way to hunt coyotes and call them and get them killed. Yeah, so that's what I tell them. I just basically am honest with them. Here's what it does. I'm not BSing you. You know, give it a try, and it shoots great. That's another thing that I'll say about the 22 arc is it is deadly accurate. I mean, phenomenally accurate. So, I mean, my like AR, accurate. My AR with a, I kid you not, Jeff, with my AR with a thermal on it, I shoot at plates at 200-400 yards. Yeah. I just warm up a plate and then paint them. And I kid you not, when I can shoot between 300 yards, I'm usually around 2 to 3 inch groups with a thermal on a plate. 400, they're about 5 inches.
That's crazy impressive with the thermal, because you're shooting, what, like 2 power, you know?
Yeah, or if you zoom in, it gets grainy. So yeah, so I'm trying to put it into context with people. Like, it's not uncommon at a couple hundred yards to shoot inch and a half, you know, groups in the center of that plate with a thermal. It's wild. I mean, it's really impressive.
So are your 100-yard day groups, like, is it, I mean, like, just keyhole on them?
What you would expect with any other. Yeah, they're just ragged hole at 100.
Yeah, yeah.
Inch at 200, you know, inch and a quarter. Yep. So it's been fun. It's been a fun ride.
When you made a good point with thermal, you know, because obviously the popularity of coyote hunting with thermal is off the charts right now. You know, the bad part about it is the optic value of thermal. Like, it's hard to put on precision shots on coyotes like it is with your day optics, right?
100%.
So a lot of guys I've talked to, thermal guns, they like the AR platform for follow, you know, quick running shots and things like that. But they're like, but I have all these coyotes that run off because you don't hit them always perfectly in the ribs, the shoulder. So it sounds like this bullet, obviously out of an AR platform, is going to give you, you know, a little more leeway, a little more play, you know, a lot more damage.
Yeah, 100%. So I've a day gun, whatever, you can put the bullet on the shoulder. You've done it 1,000 times where you know where you're going to hit him. Right at night, you get close.
You're aiming at a white spot. Yeah.
I've shot so many coyotes at night that I haven't hit right. I mean, I go up there and I get them and I look at them, especially during development. Like, grab them, look at them. Did the bullet exit? Where did it go in at? You remember how the coyote was angling? And look at them and gather them up. And number one, I haven't had hardly any pass-throughs. They don't come out, which was the design intent. And number two, you hit them a little far back, and normally those take off. They might try to run for 20 yards, but they're leaking pretty bad and they don't make it very far. So it's awesome at night. Like, I mean, I can't describe to you how awesome it is.
That was one thing I was going to ask you too, comparing to the 53s that I see. You know, that's one thing that always impressed me when I started shooting the 53s, 100-yard broadside coyote. Boom, you know, you'd walk up there and flop the coyote looking for a drop of blood on it. And you're like, wow, you know, as I got far, you know, as you start shooting those coyotes at like 250, I started noticing exit holes, like the bullet would slow down, obviously, and it wouldn't fragment like it was supposed to. Are you seeing this with the 62 ELDs at like 250 that it's still carrying enough energy where that bullet is still, you know, expanding like it should?
100%.
You know, we've shot them coming out like a 53 would.
300 and 400 yards, and I haven't had them come out, which is, to me, just wild.
It's just wild
that they're still that. And I think it's that air cavity, right? Remember how we talked about when that fills up and then they pop?
Yep.
They're still popping at 350, 400 yards, and they just don't come out. It's great. I mean, it's perfect.
So that's all about the bullet design, right? Because obviously at slower velocities, having that big cavity, it's able to open up still, right? Like, obviously 100%. The less pocket, the less cavity in there, it needs speed to really create that devastation, where this one, at less velocities, as you get out further down range, it still can do what it's supposed to do because of that cavity shape.
And at the same time, it's holding on to velocity longer. So that envelope just keeps getting pushed further and further out.
For sure.
Wow, man, I'll tell you what. You know, I was kind of glad coyote season was over. I was kind of burned out, but now I'm like pumped. I know Neil was going to send me some to test out, so I don't even have a gun to shoot them out of yet, but that's on my to-do list, I think, at this point.
Yeah, jump on the internet after the podcast, get you know, some stuff added to your cart on Midway USA or something, and you can have an upper built by this time next week.
Yeah, you could.
I'm not about shooting prairie dogs with it, you know.
There you go. Them.
Yeah, good test. Although that wouldn't be great. I would be actually shooting prairie dogs way out there.
Yeah.
Wind drift testage and stuff.
Yep, stretching the legs, seeing the terminal performance on such a small target at those extended ranges.
Heck yeah. Anything else you guys, you know, that you've thought of, you know, when it comes to this 22 arc? I mean, you've answered all my questions that I've had in relation. Anything else that you guys think about that relates to this that people listening would find important?
I just think you got to
at some point, you got to
try it. Cause I mean, we've said it multiple times on, you know, other stuff that we've done. This is just a, it's a better mouse trap for varmint hunting. It just, it is. Like, there's no other way to really say it. It just does the job better and easier.
Yeah. It just picks up where all the other cartridges, even the new ones, where they left off. It's just, you know, the 22 Nosler and the 224 Valkyrie and some of the newer cartridges, it is a little more refined, a little more elegant, and it just tied up all of the loose ends from a design standpoint that those cartridges didn't have. And it is the 22 caliber cartridge. It really is. And that's one of the things that when people approach me with that question or similar questions, and I say this about all of our cartridges, is this is, if you're trying to buy factory ammo with a factory gun, you will not find a 22 caliber cartridge that gives you better performance than this. You just can't do it. And if you want to build a gun with a custom twist rate, sure, and hand load with different bullets and stuff, yes, you can do some really amazing things. But to go to the store off the shelf, you're not going to get this level of performance in any other cartridge.
Well, and for the volume of varmint hunting, you know, shooting that we like to do, I do not want to be tied up forming brass and hand loading and doing all that stuff. I want to go get a bunch of
that. Yeah.
I want to go shoot, you know.
Yeah. Colony varmints, like you mentioned, prairie dogs. I'm not hand loading to go shoot prairie dogs.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Factory gun, factory ammo. I'm like, you know, when you're shooting a keyhole group at 100, I'm like, why would I? I mean, yeah, it might be cool as a hobby to go do something, but man, when I can shoot that already, like, yeah, what's the point?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
What's the cost? So if you take a box of, like, 53 grain, 223, compared to the cost of a box of the, you know, 22 ARC, 62 LDs, what are we looking at cost-wise? Right. Any idea?
I think when we looked, it was like, I mean, I think it's like a couple dollars, because the brass case is a little heavier. And it's just material cost in the brass. Yeah. Other than that, same bullets, same,
it's,
you know,
very comparable then. So it's not like you're going to be like, oh my God, this is going to cost me so much more to shoot.
No, it's like a couple bucks. And that's just because of the material.
Yeah. Well, if you think of it this way, you'll shoot less bullets because you won't have to keep shooting at coyotes that are running off wounded, right?
But we
finish
them
in one shot.
No, we want to shoot off. We want to empty the magazine every time.
It is fun.
It is fun. But like multiples, you know, like killing multiples, because at night, you know, you call in two or three or four at a time. And it is so nice to be able to be like, okay, the first one's done and he's anchored. Like, I don't got to like, okay, bang. Did I kill him? Is he going to get up? Is he going to get up? No. And then you move on. Now it's like, bang, first one's done. You killed him. And now you can start working on the rest of them.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing worse than educating. In my opinion, there's nothing worse than educating. Like, I hate educated coyotes. I hate those. Hate them.
Yeah, I like the dumb ones. You know?
Well, I don't want out there, you know, shoot, kill two or three or kill one of them and then the rest of them run off. I'm like, ooh, we played this game before. You know, they come into the call. I want to kill them all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Heck yeah. Sweet, guys. On the website, they go to Hornady, they can just search 22 ARC. The specs that we talked about. Videos. Yeah, I mean, it's all there, right?
Yep. Yeah, and that, you know, we've been talking about 22 ARC, obviously, and that bullet we've been talking about is brand new for 2024. It's also available in, it's available in a line of ammo that's new for 2024 called the V-Match. And we call it V-Match, V for varmint, match for match, obviously, because these bullets are held to our match bullet accuracy standard. So these bullets are held to our most exacting accuracy standards. And so that's line of ammo is good for, you know, varmint hunting, obviously, but you could also shoot it in a match. And that V-Match ammo with the VT bullet, it's also available in 6 ARC, 6 Creedmoor, 6.5 Grendel, and 6.5 Creedmoor. So there's a stable of ammo available to get this new bullet technology that we've been talking about.
And they're all those calibers you just mentioned, those bullets are very similar in design as far as the big hollow cavity, like we talked about.
Absolutely.
What's that VT stand for?
Varmint target.
Varmint target. All right.
Yep. Because that was, so this is related, but I'll try not to go too deep into this rabbit hole. But you asked Joe earlier the design of the bullet, and he'd mentioned that Jaden, our senior ballistician, had been working on this technology for a while. Well, in 2014, 2015 timeframe, he made this technology kind of come to life for match shooting. He ran some 147 grain ELD match bullets. that weighed 135 grains. So he had the lead core cut back, and I think he did it with 140s, might have been the first one. Either way, it was for a match shooting application. It was, how can I get really good drag for like a PRS match, but get more muzzle velocity.
And low recoil.
Yep, and lower the recoil and flatten the trajectory. So it was done with match shooting in mind. Now, it definitely had some really good varmint hunting application, and so the technology was birthed in competition shooting, and then, you know, transitioned to more varmint hunting, but you can use it for both. And so, for example, that 6mm, it's an 80 grain bullet. Well, if you're doing, you know, a 1 day match and your farthest shot's 1,000 yards, and most of your shots are inside of 700, you get really low recoil, you get really flat trajectory, and you still have great wind deflection numbers. So, you know, and the 6.5 is a 100 grain bullet. So you have this kind of dual purpose bullet, and we thought the VT was the appropriate name.
I like it. I like it. I don't know. My mind's still blown how you, that like was the, I don't know, the theory of just this, the, you know, the structure of the bullets bigger, hollowed out with the, I don't know.
That's
bullet geniuses there at Hornady. I'm telling you.
We put our pants on the same way you do.
I was going to say bullet.
And you know what? Well, but I'm just, all we do though, honestly, is we're a bunch of guys that like to hunt and shoot, right? And if we can find a better way to do it for us and our customers and it works, wow. I mean, that's what we're about. Hey, there's a better way to do it. We want a better way to do it. So do they. So why would we not work on that kind of stuff? You know, that's a better way to do it. That's the way we look at it. It's not like we're doing anything wild or magic or anything. We're just out there using product and trying to find a better way to do it.
I've been accused of being old and set in my ways, but I'm telling you, I think this is one of those. I think I'm doing it for sure. I think everything we talked about makes total sense to me. Yeah.
Well, really, Jeff, you're out nothing. You know, you have the gun, you have the scope, you have the ammo set up. You know what works for you. So, okay, yeah, you know, buy an upper or build an upper, and that, you know, you're not invested in a new gun purchase or anything. Just get the upper. We'll send the ammo. And worst case, it's awesome, but you still want to go 223, and you can, you know, use that for prairie dogs or something like that.
I'm going all in, Seth.
All right. I like it.
Going. I'll save my 223. Let my boys shoot that. I'm shooting the arc now.
If it
sounds cool, anyway, too. It sounds cool, right? Like I'll be into the group now. All these guys that throw up their nose at me, like, geez, you're shooting a 223. Now I can, no, I'm shooting a 22 arc, man.
Yeah.
If I wasn't scared of losing my rifle, I'd say, here, just take my AR. You go use it and test it and tell me what you think. But I'm afraid
I might not get it back.
Might never get it back.
Seekins is making one.
Of course.
Might actually do something with them. They're looking at maybe potentially coming on the podcast as a potential sponsor. Man, I know they make good.
Yeah.
They make good products. So that's kind of where I'm leaning. So we'll see. Hey, on YouTube, there's a video. Is there a lengthy, more than like a couple minute YouTube video on this 22 arc?
Absolutely.
Yep. And the ELD
is that just under the Hornady? If you go to the Hornady channel,
yep, it's under our podcast link. We've done a 40-50 minute episode on the 22 arc, and then we did another episode on our VT bullet and the VMAX line of ammo. So tons of information out about both of those things.
Yeah. If you guys are listening to this and want some more information, that's awesome. Well, fellas, that's all I got. I don't know.
Okay.
You know, I think we talked enough about it that changed my mind anyway. Solidified my mind anyway. So
good to hear. Hopefully for your listeners, they're also inclined to, you know, go check it out, get some more information, do your own comparisons, and give it a shot, because it's fun.
Well, that's what they're going to get. You know, when I'm filming The Last Stand shooting coyotes, I mean, obviously I've been a big proponent of the 53s for a lot of years, you know, because of a lot of the stuff we talked about. But this is just I'm telling you, once we start shooting coyotes next fall with this sucker, you know, guys are going to hear exactly, you know, what I'm doing with it, you know, especially thermal ballistics, the long range stuff. That's, to me, that's what's still a lot of coyotes the way it is, but there's always those ones out there like, dang it, you know, that's that one I wanted out there at 300-500 yards. And when you don't have to worry about wind and the drops less, it's just easier to kill them.
That's easier to point them. I'll be anxious to see when you start shooting them on running. I'll be really anxious to see what you think. I really will. It was
I'm going to tell you, you know, that's a huge thing on these 53s that I've always been so impressed with is, you know, let's face it, running shots is just, hey, let's just get a bullet in them, right? It's not always.
Yeah, 100%.
And I've had a lot of coyotes that I've shot through the hips, in the guts, you know, and we're talking not deep. I mean, we're talking 200, 250-yard running coyotes, right? Where you hit them in the back half, 60, 70 yards, boom, pile up just because of that bullet design. So if this is even better and creates even a bigger channel in there, I mean, obviously the bigger the channel, the faster they bleed out, the less they run. I mean, you know,
I think a lot of times, Jeff, you're going to knock them down. They're going to lose their footing from what I've seen.
And that's huge too, because sometimes you knock them off their feet by the time they get back, you know, a few seconds later, you get back up, they're gone. That's dead. They're, you know, they can't.
You can hit them again. You know, they're not going very fast. Then you just let him have it again. Yeah. I'll be anxious to see what you think.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to put them to use. That's for sure.
Right on.
All right, fellas. Well, I appreciate your time. Like I said, if you guys want to check Hornady.com, go over to the YouTube Hornady web channel, not web channel, YouTube channel, I guess. Get more info there. So once again, guys, I really appreciate you guys taking the time to jump on with me. It's been quite informative.
Awesome.
Well, good. Well, thanks, Jeff. Good to see you again.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody else for listening. I'm making this the number one predator hunting podcast out there. Couldn't do it without your guys' support. So those 5-star reviews on Spotify go a long ways. We are on YouTube now, so you can head over to the Jeff Nimnick Coyote Hunting videos to watch this on YouTube if you want to see that. But also, we couldn't do this without the sponsor, so got to thank them. We have Sig Optics, Swagger Bipods, Hornady, Lucky Duck Predator Call, Silencer Central, Cryptek, Onyx Hunt, and of course, Eastman's for putting this all together and bringing it to you guys. Got to thank them. You can head over to their website, which is eastmans.com, to check out all they have to offer. But until next time, thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time right here on the Eastman's Predator Pros Podcast.